We're going to be studying this morning in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. We'll be focusing on verses 8 through 17. In our introduction of the book of Romans, we learned that both the author and the audience were called. For example, verse 1, Paul was called. He is Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. But not only was the author called, but so was the audience. Note with me verses 6 and 7. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now as we continue our study this morning in verses 8 through 17, there are at least four evidences that God has indeed called Paul to be a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. These same four evidences can and should be seen in every true Christian's life. Now, the very first one that's mentioned is that of being thankful. You say, how do I know I've been called of God? It should be seen in your thankfulness. I know that after I got saved, there was a change in my thankfulness. And I dare say, likewise for you. You became more thankful when you became saved. Look at verse 8. Romans 1, verse 8. First, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. That's what we see. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. He was thankful to his God. My God, he says. My God. Well, hopefully, this morning you can speak of God as my God. My God. Now, how could Paul refer to him as my God? Look at the next phrase. Through Jesus Christ. The moment that Saul believed on Jesus Christ as his Savior on that road to Damascus, God became Paul's my God through Jesus Christ. You and I can both say today, my God, if we have confessed ourselves to be a sinner and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Notice your very first purpose, if you would, on your sheet. I am thankful to God that I can refer to him as my God. Because through Jesus Christ, I've been saved. Is that where you're at this morning? I trust so. But notice next, who and why was Paul thankful for? Well, he says this there in verse 8. For you all, that's who he's thankful for. For you all, and why? That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, this morning, I had Frank read to us how Paul was thankful for the Christians there in Thessalonica. He was thankful because of their faith. He was thankful for their love, their patience, and their hope. All these were mentioned in your readings this morning. Way too often, we give thanks not to God, but to people for their mental abilities, for their physical abilities, when we should be more often giving God the thanks for their spiritual abilities. We should say, you know, I thank God for how he's blessed you with faith, love, patience, hope. Now, there's nothing wrong with speaking of someone's mental abilities and someone's emotional abilities and someone's physical abilities. But what's more important is an individual's spiritual abilities, abilities that God has wonderfully and graciously imparted to them. Here Paul is thanking God for how their faith was spoken about by others throughout the whole world. Now, how in the world is that possible? Well, at this time, Rome was the center of human civilization. People from all over would come and visit there in Rome. And while they're in Rome, they were observing how these Christians were being persecuted for their faith. And they were enduring it. Enduring it. They would go back home and then they would begin to speak of the faith of these individuals down in the Colosseums, being persecuted, being eaten by animals, would yet be singing and rejoicing and giving praise. It was spread. Their faith was spread throughout the world. Look at the next two purposes, please. I purpose to give more thanks. Now, you might give thanks now, but let's give more thanks to God for the spiritual qualities I see in others. It's good that you talk about their mental capacities that God has given to them or their physical capacities. And by the way, we need to learn how to praise others by praising God first. You know, I thank God. I thank God for the ability he's given to you to run so fast. Put it in their mind of everyone that you speak to that their abilities, be it mental, physical, spiritual, they all come from where? Above God. Now, look at your next purpose, though. Here's one of our key things for today. I purpose to bear witness. God has called me unto eternal life. How? By how I give thanks to God for the spiritual qualities of others. You can bear witness. You've been called of God. Watch your spirit. Is it thankful? I mean, is that what people accuse you of? Oh, you're too thankful. You ever been accused of being too thankful? Well, that's one of the ways you and I can demonstrate our calling in Christ Jesus. Paul was thankful, but watch this as we turn to verse 9. Paul was also serving. You want another evidence of your calling? Well, look at Paul's evidence of his calling. Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Serving. Now, who witnessed his service? He says what? For God is my witness. You know, others may not see your service for the Lord, but I'm going to tell you someone who does. God. He doesn't miss it all. But this has another side of it. If God sees our service for him, he also sees our lack of service for him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, he says this, every man's work shall be made manifest, whether it's of gold, silver, precious stone, or whether it's of wood, hay, and stubble. Therefore, this purpose, please. Knowing God witnesses my service, I purpose to strive to produce more good works. Can we purpose to do that today? All right, who witnessed the service? God did, but what service did he witness? Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Paul served God in the spirit. How? By spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we can serve ourselves or we can serve God. We can serve God in the flesh or we can serve God in the spirit. The flesh, it produces wood, hay, stubble. When we minister unto God in the spirit, it produces gold, silver, precious stones. When you and I, with our lips and by our lives, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, good things are the end result. Notice your purpose, please. I purpose to bear witness. God's called me to eternal life. How? By serving God with my spirit in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's try to do more and more in the spirit and less in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. All right, so watch. Paul, he bore witness of his calling by his thankfulness, by his serving, But there was another evidence that bore witness of Paul's calling. What was that? Well, Paul was praying. Look at the last part of verse 9. He says, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Certainly, one's prayer life can bear witness of their calling unto eternal life. Who did he pray for? He says, I make mention of you. Whereas there's nothing wrong with you and I praying for our own personal needs, our prayers should focus on bringing glory to God and good to others, first and foremost. When I was praying over this last year about my prostate cancer, I continually pray that God, look, if by you healing me, it would bring you praise and honor and glory, so be it. Lord, if by you not healing me, it would bring you praise, honor, and glory, so be it. Listen to me. There's times when God can receive the glory by not healing us, in how you and I respond in not being healed. If we can still give thanks, if we can continue to serve God, it brings thanks and glory to Him. If we can continue to pray and give Him thanks. Even when Paul prayed for himself, I want you to see this. Even when Paul was praying for himself, he was thinking about others. Is that what your prayer life is like? Let me show you what I mean. What did he pray for? Okay, first thing I want you to focus on the phrase, I might have, in verse 10. Making request, if by any means at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Making request. 12 times that's translated pray, praying. Now, do you remember how God answered Paul's prayer? What was the will of God when it came to him having a prosperous journey? Do you remember? Reading Acts 27, Acts 28. Well, what was that prosperous journey like? Well, I'll tell you what it was like. He was shipwrecked on an island. No, they didn't lose their lives because the Spirit of God had told them they wouldn't do that. But they were shipwrecked in the deep. Oh, they swam themselves to the island. And having been saved from the shipwreck, what happened to Paul while he was gathering some wood? And what happened to him? A viper. A two-step viper. Now, why did he call it two steps? Didn't say it in the Bible, but this is what he was. Two steps. Because you took two steps and what? You were dead. This is how deadly that viper was. Because remember all the people looked? And they were watching? He's going to fall dead. He's going to fall dead. And Paul, he took that viper. What did he do with it? Shook it off in the fire. Something good is going to happen to you. Oh, yeah. Shipwrecked. Viper bites you. But what did God do there on the island? I'll tell you what he did with Paul. He healed all who were ill and sick. He had a plan for him. He had to go to that island. There are souls to be saved. There are lives to be healed, not only spiritually, but physically. But he prays for a prosperous journey. Now, if you are in the midst of the deep, trying to paddle yourself aside, got to hang on to some piece of wood or whatever to try to get to the... Oh, you're thinking, God, man, you really boom. You didn't hear my prayer. I prayed for a prosperous journey. And then when a serpent grabs hold of your hand, still able to give thanks? But this was the will of God, as evidenced by Paul shaking it off, as evidenced by Paul proceeding to heal the sick. Look at your purpose, please. When praying, I purpose to remember to pray the will of God be done and accept it. That's what he was praying. Making mention, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God. God, your will be done to come unto you. You see, even when Paul was praying for his own prosperous journey, he had others in mind. Look at verse 11. I may impart. Look at that phrase. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Paul desired to come to them that he might impart, that's also translated give, them the benefit of his spiritual gifts that God had given to him, that they might be established, also strength, also translated strengthened. That's why Paul wanted to come. He wanted to be a blessing. His prayers, though he's praying for himself, he was thinking about others. He's thinking about the glory of God. We should be willing to minister our God-given gifts in the lives of others, that they might be perfected to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. You see, when you and I minister our gifts one to another, there's going to be a mutual edification. Look at the next phrase. I may be comforted, verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you. How? By the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, this word translated comforted is also translated exhort. You see, when the body is manifesting their gifts one to another, the church is edified in faith and love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Paul desired that they would mutually edify one another with their gifts, especially with the gift of what? Faith. When your faith is small, when it's shrinking, when it's wavering, hopefully someone else will come along whose faith is great and will fan your faith. There are very few things that bring me more comfort than to see someone's faith growing. Now, it's also the other way when someone's faith is not growing. That can bring some discouragement to you. But look at your purpose here. You know what? I purpose to bear witness. God's called me to eternal life. How? By my prayer life of desiring to use my gifts to help others. All right, so what's some of the evidence that Paul has been called of God to eternal life? Well, his thankfulness, his willingness to serve, his prayer life, and then finally, his preaching. Yeah, let's talk about how Paul was preaching. First of all, let's note Paul's resolve for preaching. Verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes, I have purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. It had been Paul's desire to come to Rome on other occasions, but he had not yet been allowed to by God. It hadn't been God's plan for him. See the phrase, but was let hitherto? The word let is most often translated forbid. Though he wanted to go to Rome, God had kept him from coming to Rome. Now, whether it was society, whether it was Satan who resisted him from coming, ultimately, you and I know, it was the Savior who kept him from coming. Proverbs 16:9, you know, talks about how a man's heart, it devises his way, but God has ordained or directed his steps. Now, you and I this morning, we can only guess why God had not permitted him to come to Rome yet. But one thing it does not seem that God didn't keep him from coming because Paul had a impure motive. It appears Paul's motive was very pure. Did you note that? What was his motive? It was to bear fruit. Bear fruit. And that's exactly what Jesus desires from us. Listen to Jesus' words in John 15, verse 16. Jesus says, oh, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Paul's desire to produce fruit in his own life, to produce fruit in the lives of the believers in Rome, it was a biblical desire. So then why hadn't God permitted him to come up to this point? Well, later in this letter, Paul is going to write these words. Listen to him. He says, of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Sometimes, people, God does not reveal why he hinders us from going to minister in the lives of others. You and I, all, we just need to be ready. You and I need to be willing to go when his time is right. Well, Paul was ready. That's his desire. What's your desire? Is your desire to do the will of God when he says, the time is right. Now it's time for you to go. Look at your purpose. I purpose to go where God permits me to go. Why? That I might bear fruit from my preaching the word. So first of all, we see Paul's resolve for preaching, but now watch. What were his reasons for preaching? What should be your reasons? What should be my reasons for preaching the word of God? Well, first of all, Paul says, hey, I'm a debtor, verse 14. I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. To whom did Paul consider himself a debtor? He says, both to the Greeks and barbarians. He says, both to the wise and unwise. Now, these two statements are really saying the same thing. Now, the Greeks, they thought themselves to be highly, highly educated. Barbarians were perceived as being uneducated. What we read here, what we understand, is Paul considered himself to be a debtor to all classes of people. All classes. He was not a respecter of persons. He felt obligated to share the gospel wherever he went, with whoever crossed his path. Whoever. But why did he consider himself a debtor? Well, Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he says this. He says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. The reason Paul thought himself to be a debtor to all peoples was that he considered himself a debtor to the one who created all peoples, a debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, it was God who had called him to be saved, Acts 9, verse 15. It was God who called him to share the Gospels, Romans 1, 1. Therefore, note our purpose here, please. You know what? I purpose to acknowledge I'm a debtor to God because God has chosen me to be saved and he's called me to share the gospel. A good passage to look at is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. But now listen, not only does Paul say I am a debtor, then he says this in verse 15. Another reason for preaching, he says, I'm ready. So as much as is in me, is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. Here we see extremely clearly Paul's willingness to come to Rome to preach the gospel. He says, so as much as in me is. Note also, Paul says this, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Now this word ready, it's also translated willing. Paul was willing, but up to this point, he was not yet able. Focus on your next purpose. I purpose to declare my willingness to preach the gospel anywhere and everywhere God permits me to do so. We just need to be ready and willing to go and to preach where and when God wants us to do so. Now, what were Paul's reasons for preaching the word? Well, he was a debtor, and he was willing, and he was, watch this, he was not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Verses 16 and 17. Watch the two fours. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. All right. So what is he not ashamed of? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What would you say is one of the primary reasons why we are ashamed to share the gospel with others? One thought that came to my mind would maybe be a lack of confidence. Lack of confidence. We fear we don't really know how to share the gospel. Lack of confidence. The second one came to my mind is a lack of courage. We fear being rejected or persecuted by those we share the gospel with. I want you to keep your marker right here in Romans, but I'm going to go over to 2 Timothy. If you just want to listen, fine. If you want to go there with me, fine. Remember, the T's are all together. I'm going to read to you a couple of excerpts from 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's a talk, and the word ashamed appears there. I want you to focus on this word ashamed, all right? 2 Timothy 1, I'm going to start with verse 8. Now he says to Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, Timothy, I want you not to be ashamed. I want you to be willing to suffer affliction for the gospel's sake. Now watch. Look at verse 12. What was Paul's testimony? He says to Timothy, I don't want you to be ashamed. But what does he say about himself? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. One of the things that gave Paul great assurance and no shame in preaching the gospel is that he was very confident of his hope in heaven. And the more and more you and I hope in heaven, the less and less we feel shame here as we give the testimony of Jesus Christ. And one more statement here. Look at verse 16. I want you to see that if and when you and I are not ashamed, we are blessed of God. Paul says, oh, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and he found me. Oh, the Lord grant, the same word as give, unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You want to experience the mercy of God? Then don't be ashamed of sharing the gospel. God will bless you. All right, come back with me to our passage in Rome. The Lord blesses those who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But he is ashamed of those who are ashamed of him and his words. Let me give you another reading. Luke 9, listen to these words, verse 26. Jesus says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Therefore, let's take a look at this purpose. Like Paul, I purpose not to be ashamed of the gospel, but will strive to share it more often. All right. Why was he not ashamed of it? Well, we see two fours here in verse 17. Let's take a look at it. Why was he not ashamed of the gospel? Because the first thing he says, "For it's the power of God unto salvation." Now, we know that in the Bible, salvation includes three aspects. There is a salvation from the penalty of sin. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. There's a salvation from the penalty of sin. Also in the writings of Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, you find that there's a salvation from the power of sin over our lives. The power of sin. And then thirdly, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, there is a salvation from the very presence of sin to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There is salvation. God's word has the power of salvation. Whether we're talking about salvation from the penalty, power, or presence. I just need to caution you a little bit about how the vast majority of churches today are watering down the gospel. We need to preach the gospel with power. And we do so when we preach the gospel as presented in the Word of God, especially in the book of Romans. The salvation as presented in the book of Romans has great power to save. So don't be afraid of sharing the teachings of this book. Look at your purpose. You know what? I purpose not to be ashamed of sharing the gospel. Why? For I know it's the power to save, listen, the worst of sinners. All right, he wasn't ashamed of it, for it's the power of God unto salvation. But secondly, we read here in verse 17, he wasn't ashamed of it, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed. The word therein, that's a reference to the gospel of Christ, which has been mentioned in verse 16. Don't be ashamed to share the gospel of Christ. For the righteousness of or from God is revealed in it. Do you want to know how to have a right standing with the Lord? Then study the Bible. And particularly study the book of Romans. For that term can be found more than 30 times in it. Remember last week I talked to you about the words righteousness and the words just coming from the same Greek word? It means to justify a person. It means to declare him legally righteous. Grudem, in his systematic theology book, here's how he defines justification. He says this: justification is an instantaneous legal act of God in which he does what? He thinks our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us. And then he declares us to be righteous in his sight. Now later, in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, we'll read these words. To declare, I say at this time, his, Jesus, righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Here's what we know. God declares a sinner to be righteous in his sight, not on the basis of their good works, but in response to their faith. which is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Paul will again and again in this book emphasize that justification comes after our faith. It is God's response to our faith. We are justified when we believe. When Paul declares here in verse 17, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You see that phrase, from faith to faith? That expressed the meaning, by faith alone. By faith alone. Why shouldn't you and I be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Well, verse 16, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And secondly, here in verse 17, for it's the righteousness of God, it's revealed by faith alone. So please understand, both the salvation of God and the righteousness of God is or of God working through the gift of faith which God's given to us. So the statement here in verse 17, Teresa and I were just been reading from Habakkuk 2, verse 4, and we found that verse, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk speaks of that in that chapter. So the moment that one of us places our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are declared righteous and given eternal life by God. So our initial salvation from the penalty of sin is by faith. But listen to me. So is our salvation from the power of sin by faith. As evidenced by the words, look at these words, shall live by faith. That's sanctification. You shall live by faith. Why do you see so many defeated Christians? Because their faith is what? Small. That's why we need to understand in our lives, personal lives, and the lives of others, we ought to seek to enhance their faith. Because by faith, they can live a victorious Christian life. So, both our regeneration, being born again, our sanctification, living victorious, is by faith. Last two purposes for today. I purpose not to be ashamed of sharing the gospel. Why? For I know it's the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And then finally, I purpose to bear witness. God's called me to eternal life. How are you going to do that? By my preaching to others. By my preaching to others. So, we like the apostle, we can demonstrate to others we've been called of God unto eternal life. How can we do that? Well, by our giving of thanks. Be a person giving thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks for all things. By your service. You serve. And your service ought to come out of thing, not what am I going to get out of it, but will it bring glory to God? Will it bring good to others? By your prayer life, same thing. What's my prayer life? Do I focus on me, or even when I'm focusing on praying for myself, that it'll bring glory to God and good to others? And then by our sharing the gospel. You watch an individual who's been born again, and because of circumstances in her life, their faith has taken a dive. Watch and see how much they witness to others. You know what else takes a dive when your faith takes a dive? Your witnessing to others takes a dive too. So that's what I'm saying. You say, man, how can I bear witness? I've been called of God unto eternal life. Preach the gospel. Share the word. Minister to others. Well, these are four evidences that Paul bore witness in his life. and there are four witnesses. Of course, there's many others, but these four should be seen in your life and my life, evidences that we have been called by God unto eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for sharing with us this morning these evidences. And we would ask, by your great grace and mercy, that we would put forth a greater effort in manifesting these marvelous works in our life, works that bear witness of our faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, we just praise you for what you're going to do in our individual lives. You know which of these four we need to be focusing more energy upon. And Lord, we pray that this week we would do so. Thank you, Lord, for our calling. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, bless us with salvation from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin over our lives. And Lord, yes, we even look forward to that day when we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. We just praise you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.